honor and praise in Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. And listen, I want you to get your notes out. I'm going to speak to you today, and I'm going to try to convey this through the Holy Spirit to you. And then you're going to need to look at this. And some of the things that I'm going to say, it might be hard for you to grasp. And as I always say, never take the word of the preacher. Always check behind it and make sure it falls in line with the word of the Lord. Amen. Because it's your soul at stake. We are responsible for giving you the word. And we are responsible for looking up and giving you the word. But you have to check behind us. Amen. You have to check. You have to be like the Bereans. They says that the Bereans, even though the great apostle Paul preached and taught them, they still checked behind to see if what he was saying was true. And so today, as I convey this to you, I want you to check behind me. And it makes a good study, and it comes up with important questions, and it gives you an ability to challenge yourself and challenge where you're at in your life. Because many of us, we want to see the prosperity of God in our life. And when I talk about prosperity, please don't think I'm talking about money. But let me say that you want the prosperity of the wisdom of God in your life. You want to have a life that is full of the King. Amen. You want to be able to do and be part of the move of the kingdom in these last days. And as we know, all over the United States and even over the world in some places, the word of God is being diluted, being mixed up, being diluted. And there is very rare that you find truth that is around. And we want to make sure that we are conveying truth. Amen. And we are living truth. Amen. Sin is still sin. Amen. There is still a hell. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is still the Holy Ghost. There's still righteousness. Hallelujah. And holiness. Amen. Amen. There is still a King. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is in the lives of those that trust him and believe him. And because we are become such a generation of people, especially in our society, that are very self-centered, are self-indulgent. We like things for ourselves. We like to go here, like to do this, and like to do that, so that we can fulfill the things that are good and feels good to our flesh. But Jesus makes this statement. He says that you got to count the cost up. The cost is your life. You have to become submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Submitting to the Lordship of Jesus means that you got to be able to give up everything. Amen. And I believe that many of us have not made that choice altogether. We might want to be saved. We might want this and want that of the kingdom. But God has a mandate and a purpose for you being here. In order for you to fulfill that purpose, you've got to forsake everything but Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen to that. And you might think it's hard, but you need to count the cost up. There's no sense in going to hell from the church. You might as well get out there and do your thing. Amen. I believe that. If you're going to do it, do your thing. Amen. And do it to the fullest. Amen. But if you're going to be in the kingdom, you're going to have to do Jesus to the fullest. You're going to have to sacrifice everything to the fullness of who he is in our life. And many times when people come into the body of Christ, because they observe many of us that calls ourselves Christian, they don't see the joy and the peace and the comfort. Sister Courtney, she came up here, and I could see, even this morning she came, I could see the peace that passes all understanding on her. She had joy that was full of God's glory. Amen. And you know what? We all need deliverance. We all need deliverance. Amen. And we overcome by the word, as she indicated, the word of our testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. And we need a testimony today. If you don't have joy, you need to have a testimony. Amen. And that means you need to submit yourself to the King and allow the King of glory to invade your life and to touch you, to heal you, and you will be full of his joy. If you got problems today, if you have situations that you are in today, you need to understand that the King is here to set you free. You don't have to live the way that you're living. We are all living beneath our privilege. I'm saying about myself too. We are all living beneath our privilege. There's more to God than we can ever imagine. Amen. If we can just trust Him. Amen. Amen. So there's a couple of things I'm going to do. First of all, I'm going to just welcome all of you in the presence of the Lord today. And the reason why I'm saying that is that I pray that you will receive from me today will change your life. It changed your life. Amen. Because as I begin to look at this and study it, it has begun to change my life too. Because sometimes we put so much of a limit on God because of our own limited thinking. It puts limits on the thing that God wants to do in your life. How many know that God is a good God? All right, let's so get some foundational truths about God that you already know. How many know that God is not a liar? All right, I don't hear everybody saying that. You need to confess that out. God is not a liar. How many know that God is not a liar? How many know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many know that's true? How many know that God's word is a lamp unto our feet that guides us and leads us to the path of His righteousness and the path to our purpose? How many know that? How many know that God's word says that God's thoughts of you are good thoughts and not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of good to take you to your expected end? How many know that? How many know that word that is it? Amen. How many know that the word of God is true and that He will never leave you nor will He ever forsake you? How many know that? How many know that He is the comforter? How many know that He is not only the comforter, but He is the one that will give you peace that surpasses all understanding? How many know that God is a redeemer and a deliverer? How many know that He is a healer? Hallelujah. How many know that He will give you peace in the midst of troubles? How many know that He will go into the fire while you're in the fire and be in you, in the fire with you, and let you out and He'll stay in the fire? Hallelujah. Amen. God is a good God. Hallelujah. How many know that He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel? How many know that He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, bright and morning star, the day spring, the spring of the chief apostle of my soul, the bishop of my heart? How many know that He's that? Hallelujah. How many know that He's the lover of your soul? I am found Him in whom my soul loveth. How many know that to be true? Amen. We say all of those things. Did you ever see it? Did you ever see it? Think about it. Did you ever see what I just said to you? Did you ever see His lordship? Did you ever see that He's King? Did you ever see that He is peace in the midst of trouble? Did you ever see Him in the fire with you? Did you ever see when it didn't seem like you didn't know what to do, that He showed up and you saw Him as your deliverer? How many know that when you were sick in your sick bed, and sometimes you could have been in your own bed and you were sick, you didn't know what to do, but Jesus showed up? How many of you saw Him as a healer? All right. So just keep those in the back of your mind. I'm going to route back. Turn to Numbers, chapter number 13. You might want to write some of these scriptures down so you can go back and reference them. See, God is a deliverer. God is a keeper. But more than anything else, God is limited based on what you think about Him. Not only what you think about Him, but what you imagine Him to be. When we talk about imaginations, what we normally talk about is some kind of false image. All right, now listen to this. The Israelites were just about to enter into the promised land, and they were right there at the promised land. Moses said, well, you know what? We want you to go out, Joshua and Caleb and a couple of you men, and we want you to go out and spy out the land and tell me what you see when you get there. Anybody got me? Tell me what you see and report. Give me a report when you come back of what do you see. All right? Everybody listening to me? And verse number 32 of number 13. Well, I'm going to go up a little. Verse 30. And Caleb still the people before Moses said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." All right? So I want you to see what Caleb said. He got a vision in his mind when he went and spied out the land. And what he came back with is a conclusion of what he saw based on the vision he saw in his mind. He said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But notice what it says. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that has eaten up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature.'" Here's verse 33, and you need to really get this and even go home and meditate on this, what this is saying. "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." Y'all didn't get that. I don't know if y'all got that or not. Let me read it again. Let's all read it together. Let's try to kind of get it in our spirits. Ready? Go. And there we saw what? The giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, I always believe that God puts things in a particular order in the scriptures so that we can see some things that we normally don't see. And the first thing, if you get the report from Caleb, what you find is Caleb looks out and he says, "You know what, let's go up now and take the land." Right? "Let's go up now, for we are well able to do it." Does he not say that? Caleb says that regardless of what he sees with his natural eye, what he sees is that we are well able to take the giants. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And some of us got some giants in our land, and when we looked at them, we made the statement like the other men. And notice it says the other men. He doesn't even name them by name. He says the other men, which means that their report wasn't valid enough to even speak their name. But notice what he says. "In our sight, we are like grasshoppers." Now that takes note of a principle number one. Who do you believe who you are? You can't take on anything until you get a vision of who you are regarding you. It says, and so based on what you feel about yourself is what other views about you. So when you take an image and then take a look at yourself, you have to say, what is the image that I see myself as? Because if you don't see yourself as victorious, you never will be victorious. If you never see yourself as a conqueror, you will never conquer. If you never see yourself as someone that is valid, you will never be validated. Everybody understand what I'm saying? This is a principle rule. The first rule that you need to understand is that what do you see about yourself? Now Now I want you to hold that. I'm going to take you somewhere else real quickly. The will of God, the faith begins. Well, the will of God is made known. It is a saying that you know I've been saying, and I got it from Kenneth Hagin. He says the faith begins where the will of God is made known. And one of the things that we have to understand is that in order for you to understand what the will of God is, you got to be able to see it. You got to be able to view it. You got to have a vision of it. You got to have a imagination. Now listen, when we talk about imagination, when we read the Bible, because of religious attitudes and religious ideals, we always think about vain imaginations, wicked imaginations. We always go to the negative side, but I'm going to get away from the negative side because we all know about wicked imaginations because we've all been a participant in it. Anybody said amen? You haven't been saved all your life. You didn't come out of your room talking in tongues and had the Holy Ghost. Amen. You were one, just like I was, that indulged in the things of wickedness through the imaginations of our minds. Now listen, I talked to you a little bit before about the visions of the eyes, okay? And I talked to you about the sight. You have a spiritual sight and you have a natural sight. How many know that your natural sight can also be infiltrated by your soulish sight and can be infiltrated by a demonic sight and can be infiltrated by a God sight? Case in point is that if I tell you to give me directions to go down to the mall down there, what will happen? You will start visualizing the way there. And once you start visualizing the way there, you will instruct me based on the vision that you have to go there. Now, some of you might tell me to go straight up down this way, Ann Arbor Trail, turn down Wayne, go down this way and turn left. Some of you might say go down Merriman and turn up this way, down the Warren, and you'll hit them all right there. But anyway, what it is that you'll see the path before you speak it. Are you listening to me? Please listen.